Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year, almost. Tonight we farewell 2023 and tomorrow we start a new year, 2024. As much as it's a rather arbitrary occasion, there is something significant about seeing the calendar flip over from one year to the next. For many people, the change of the year brings the opportunity or the motivation for change. Motivation to leave something old and unhelpful behind and to take up something new and positive instead. A survey taken by the health fund HCF last year found that the most popular New Year's resolutions in Australia were related to physical well-being, including exercising more, losing weight or improving nutrition, stressing less, making more money, and, surprisingly, getting more sleep. Sadly, 46% of respondents also admitted that they became too busy to stick to their resolutions during the year. I can identify with that, and I imagine you can too. It's easy to make resolutions, but much harder to make the changes in lifestyle or habits needed to stick to them. Today's gospel reading from Luke chapter 13 sounds a lot like a spiritual New Year's resolution, doesn't it? Jesus here is talking to a crowd in Jerusalem concerned about the sinfulness of other people. But instead of endorsing the crowd's concerns, Jesus turns the spotlight back on them with this warning. Do you think those people were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Ouch. It's obvious that we're dealing with something more serious here than a simple physical makeover. Jesus goes on to illustrate his point with a parable which you heard earlier, and I'll read it again. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Much of this parable is reasonably straightforward. Both the pictures of vineyard and fig tree are used in the Old Testament to represent God's people, which makes the vineyard owner God himself. God comes looking for the fruit he expects to find his people producing, but finds none. Despite what enemies of God say, his expectation is not unreasonable. In the Middle East, fig trees bear fruit most of the year round. The fact that the tree has not borne anything for 3 years then suggests a great deal of patience on the owner's part. However, it seems even God's patience has its limits, and he proposes to dig up his unfruitful people and replace them with others who bear fruit. At this word of judgment, the gardener steps in. Like our Lord Jesus, he shows God's people grace and mercy. He asks for a delay in sentencing, offering to work on the unproductive tree in an attempt to make it fruitful again. The question remains, what is the fruit God's people are failing to produce? And what is this fertilizer that Jesus proposes to apply to them? In the parable's immediate context, the answer is repentance. Jesus is calling all God's people to recognize that they have failed to live up to God's expectations, that they have failed to bear the fruit God created them to produce. But what do we need to repent of, and how can Jesus help us in it? I suggest that one answer can be found in our epistle reading for today. In this letter, Peter is writing to the Christians in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. Peter is reminding these Christians that they have been made holy through the precious blood of Christ, and so they are to live holy lives. He concludes that section with the reading we heard earlier, particularly verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. From this reading, I suggest that one of the fruits we struggle to produce in our lives is the fruit of love. Last week on Christmas Day, I taught you an important theological question. For those of you who were here, do you remember what it was? It was, so what? Or if you want to show off your German, was ist das? So what? What does this parable and Peter's letter have to do with us today? As we approach the end of an old year and the start of the new, I believe that God is calling us to a spiritual New Year's resolution. God wants us in the coming year to love one another deeply from the heart. But there's a problem, isn't there? We continually fail at love, just as we fail at our other New Year's resolutions. Lest we deny or downplay our failings, we should understand what God means by that word love. The Bible consistently explains that love is not just a feeling. It's not just feeling kindly towards other people. But love is really an action. What's more, in the Bible, love is a costly action. For example, Jesus explained to his disciples on the night before he died for them in John 15, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." Godly, biblical love is self-sacrificial action. It means preferring the needs of others over our own, just as Jesus did. Sadly, this also means, if we're honest with ourselves, that we rarely truly love. Two news articles I read this week illustrate what happens if people fail to follow the example Jesus set to love self-sacrificially. The first article dealt with long COVID. It explained how about 10% of people who catch COVID end up with long-term fatigue and brain fog, which greatly limits their everyday activities. Some people just end up bedridden. And while this disease is bad and sad enough, even sadder are reports of husbands or wives leaving their sick partners because the partner can no longer fulfill their needs. Their idea of love is apparently what makes them happy, rather than laying down their life for their spouse. The second article I read reflected on how the standard of living in Australia has been dropping in the past few years. And this has led many people to focus on making ends meet rather than helping others around them. Even those not struggling financially are becoming increasingly inward focused, as is seen, for example, in the number of charities struggling to find volunteers. Now, before we dismiss these examples as problems restricted to the world rather than the church, we should take seriously Jesus' injunction to look to our own sins before we criticize the sins of others. And when we do that, we see similar lack of love in the church. We see members who are forgotten when they are no longer able to contribute to the community. Or we see people who are cancelled when they don't agree with each other. And church members are always tempted to look after number one, themselves, and only give their leftovers to God and his people, if they give at all. But whereas the world at least can plead ignorance when it does such things, we have no such excuse. Today's parable makes it clear that the consequences of breaking God's spiritual resolutions are deadly. Jesus says in no uncertain terms, if we don't repent, if we don't start bearing the fruit of love after his extra time of care to us, then God will uproot us. And if we look back at our track record of keeping physical New Year's resolutions, Our situation looks pretty hopeless, doesn't it? And it would be if we had to bear the fruit of love on our own. But there is hope. The good news is that God has not only given us a New Year's resolution, but he has given himself one as well. God has said yes to Jesus' suggestion to dig around and fertilize us for another year. God is resolved to help us bear fruit. And how this can happen is seen again in our first Peter reading. The fertilizer Jesus applies to make us more loving is the word of God. In verse 23, Peter says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." Peter reminds his readers that we have become Christians not because of anything we have done, but only because of God's grace and mercy and love. Although we often struggle to see it, we have been made holy through God's word. We have been born again by the planting of God's imperishable seed in our hearts, and so we cannot help but bear fruit. This links beautifully with the pictures in the parable. We are trees planted by God in his vineyard. He has not set us up to fail, but he has created us with the capacity to be fruitful, very fruitful. And so we don't really need to do anything special. We just need to be whom God has made us to be. If we do anything, it's simply like a tree receiving water and nutrients from the soil. We dwell in, we receive the living and enduring word of God. And then we trust that God's word will do what he has promised. We trust that his word will change our hearts to love others as God loves us and to motivate us to show that love through actions. And this motivation doesn't come from a fear of being punished when we fail, but it comes from the joy we experience seeing others benefit from our love and when they reciprocate that love. What does such love look like in practical terms? Well, from the examples I gave earlier, it might mean remaining faithful to our spouses, friends, or fellow members, even when their health deteriorates. It might mean sacrificing our own time and energy for their welfare, even when they can't reciprocate. It means accepting and welcoming everyone within our community, even if we disagree with them. Not cancelling people with different views, but trying to understand where they are coming from. Godly love means giving joyfully, not reluctantly, sharing our first fruits with others rather than simply our leftovers or spare change. And yes, none of that is easy. But Luther explains that through faith, God can do what we can't. Through faith, God motivates us to do good works, which include love in action. Luther says this wonderful passage in his commentary on Romans. "Faith, however, is a divine work in us, which changes us and makes us to be born anew of God," John chapter 1. "It kills the old Adam and makes us altogether different men and women, in heart and spirit and mind and powers, and it brings with it the Holy Spirit. Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It is impossible for it not to be doing good works incessantly. It does not ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is asked, it has already done them and is constantly doing them." Again, such active faith comes through hearing the word of God, just as you are doing right now. And to help you dwell deeper in God's word, I want to trial an Ask Pastor session after Sunday services next year. These will give you the opportunity to better understand and engage with the Sunday sermon and readings each week. Now, I don't do this to lay an additional New Year's resolution on you. but simply to offer you another opportunity to be fertilized by Jesus. And if you're interested in learning more, then you can find more details in the bulletin today. Finally, I want to briefly address what to do if we have failed in the past. What do we do if we have broken our previous resolutions to spend more time in God's Word, or if we have failed to love as we should? The only solution is to repent. But note that repentance is not saying, "I'm sorry and I will do better next time." Rather, repentance is saying, "I'm sorry and I know I can't do better. Please help me, God." Once we recognize that we can't, but He can, then we open ourselves to receiving not only His forgiveness and a new start, but we open ourselves to receiving His help, as we have already discussed. The answer to our broken resolutions is not more of our own resolutions, but taking hold of God's resolution in faith, a resolution which we know is trustworthy. If there's only one New Year's resolution you make this year, then please make it trust in God's resolution to you. He promises that those who are planted in His vineyard are of imperishable seed, which will bear fruit into eternity. Through His word, He promises to help you endure and to love one another deeply from the heart. And so God bless you as you dwell in His word and bear much fruit. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.